Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Third and goal at the Patriot 9-yard line. Grossman in the shotgun. Grossman takes the snap. Back to throw. Steps up. Dumps it over the middle. It is intercepted! Hey! Through the hands of a Redskin and intercepted by the Patriots at the 7-yard line.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. And I'm already annoyed as I look to my left, ESPN, the Patriots should fear the Broncos, what the Patriots have, you know, all the concerns the Patriots have, and Denver this, Denver that. It's just going to be fabulous around 7:30 because I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to go run outside like when the Bruins won the cup, and I'm just going to, you know, I mean, it is just absolutely, it's so disgusting how these national media people refuse to break down the 7-1 Tebow streak, this Denver streak, not a Tebow streak. I call it the Prater streak because he's the one that should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated and not Tebow. And I feel bad for Tebow, as I said yesterday, B-Lo, before we get into all the fantasy stuff, because when the bleep hits the fan and this stuff comes crashing down, and it very well, I believe, is going to come crashing down on him pretty hard by the end of that game on Sunday, you know, let's see how everybody reacts then. And you know, his character I'm not worried about, but I'm afraid everybody in Denver might jump off a bridge.
Well, maybe the Sports Illustrated cover should have been the picture of Tebow with Prater exclamation point, so yeah. You can get a little bit of both.
And Barber. Listen. Barber. My headline yesterday would have been Barber fumbling, and it would have said idiot, and on the little thing on the side would have said Denver. You know, squeaks out another win, courtesy Prater.
In the ranking of who contributed most to that Denver win, it goes Barber, Prater, Tebow. No questions asked.
But for this whole winning streak, it goes Prater, right. Prater, Prater, Prater,
defense,
Prater.
Defense.
A couple of defensive plays. But Prater has bailed them out so many times.
Well, the fact is that McGahee and the running game, along with the defense, have been what have put Tebow in position for these late game heroics. I'll give him his due credit for having no fear and for playing well under pressure. But the bottom line is he was dreadful through three quarters last Sunday, and he's been dreadful more often than not. So the other 52 guys have put him in position to have the opportunity to have these heroics, and then he's come through. And I don't know if you happen to see the mic'd up last night.
I did.
I saw that, and the main
thing
that
struck
thing.
Me. Don't ask me why, but
no, I
watched it because I thought it'd be good for the program today.
And honestly, I
like stuff like that, regardless of who it is.
I made it a point to watch it more because the Patriots are playing him in three days than if it was any other week.
Yeah.
The one thing that came to me was purely the leadership and motivational end of it. That I don't know if that's going to win them a Super Bowl ever, but he clearly is a genuinely good teammate. Leader, motivator.
But we know
calm,
that, though.
Cool,
we know that. I grant him all that.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him because the way the national media is putting all this pressure on him that is absolutely ridiculous. If his name were not Tim Tebow, ESPN and NFL Network would be laughing and mocking this team. That's the only reason why is because he's Tebow, the God-fearing quarterback from Jacksonville.
Right, because of the religious end of it, because of what kind of collegiate success he had, all the unconventional elements of his game. But the bottom line is, until this week, and I think I saw somewhere on the internet, you know, Broncos ready to commit to Tebow, but until this week, all you had heard was, they're not committing to Tebow. They don't even want Tebow. He's 6-1, 7-1, whatever it is this year, and they're not even sold on him, so why should everyone else be?
Yeah, I just don't understand why the national media below is afraid to break down these games as succinctly as I did yesterday and just go through the progression of how, you know, we give him credit for some plays. He's made a couple of plays here and there. But if you go through all the games and you look at the ineptness and the stupidity of the other team's offenses, particularly on the quarterback side and all the pick sixes, the turnovers, North Turner, Novak's missed field goals,
Sanchez.
Barber, Sanchez, Rivers,
Ponder.
It goes on and on and on.
That's a far bigger reason for why they're winning these games than Tebow. And it's just, I mean, he was 3 of 13 in the first half the other day. That's not a winning quarterback. That's not a quarterback leading his team and putting his team in position to win games, the defense and the running game have put him in position, and he's come through in a calm, cool, and collected manner when they've needed it most. But I don't know how far you can go with that. I don't know how far you can go that way. And I'll tell you what, they might. I see the Patriots winning this week, and I see them potentially winning big. But don't think that's going to stop the Tim Tebow Express, because I think they're still going to win the division, which means a home playoff game potentially against Charlie Batch in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Roethlisberger has proven that he'll play hurt, but let's just say either it's a 60% Ben Roethlisberger or Charlie Batch. And can you imagine if the Broncos win a playoff game? Can you imagine? And then maybe come here? Can you imagine?
I know. I understand that. And it's good. That's why this game, I think one of the most intriguing games this week, besides obviously the Patriots, is going to be San Diego-Baltimore. Because San Diego wins that game and the Raiders lose to Detroit, which I think they will, and the Patriots beat Denver, which I think they will, now all of a sudden the Chargers are right back in it, and who knows what could happen. And Denver will be fighting, gone from godlike to fighting for their playoff lives.
Oh, yeah.
Down the stretch here.
Yeah, and it's amazing that San Diego is still alive, and this is what it took them longer in the season than recent years to get going.
If they beat the Broncos a few weeks ago, like they should have blown a 10-0 lead, and that Philip Rivers and Novak and Turner not had collective brain farts, they would have absolutely won that game.
Yeah. And
another
right,
one they gave away.
It could be a three-team race going down these.
You know, the Raiders. Look at the Raiders game. I mean, Carson Palmer's first game. They were up 24-14. He throws three picks.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota puts up 32 points on that. You know, and this is not a people keep talking about. How really good Denver's defense is. They're at the bottom of the league, the bottom third in points allowed, and they have faced horrible offenses with terrible quarterbacks. They have not faced anybody like this except for Green Bay when Orton was starting and they got killed. The only other decent team they have played during the stretch is Detroit, and they got mauled.
No, I know. So have the Patriots have had the same kind of strength. Like we've been saying with the Patriots, I mean, as of right now, they can only face who's on their schedule.
That's
they can
right.
only do what they're doing. But, you know, I think Denver has some pretty darn good playmakers on defense who I'd like to see what they're capable against.
They made plays against Miami, against Carson Palmer's first game, against Castle who went out, against Palco came in, Sanchez with a pick six.
Ponder.
Rivers and Ponder and Haney. I mean, that is not. And you know, San Diego is the game that was really, the Bears game was ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine Haney going in there? They can't score against the Bears defense at all. They look like absolute crap the whole game.
Yep.
And Barber, who can't stay in bounds with the football, run the clock
just
out.
Just one of the most
for a shutout. Just absolutely one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
It really was. It really was.
All right, let's get to the a lot of fans because this is a big week. Email us webradio@patriots.com because we could do this all day, and we'll do it in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Get back to it. More of this stuff. It's just such an intriguing matchup, and I know you're headed out there.
Headed out there.
God bless you.
Think I can make it out alive?
It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. I mean, it will be interesting.
The atmosphere. And...
You know, I'll be there on Saturday. We'll be there tomorrow and Saturday. You know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of a feel the city has, because I think sometimes with football, you can get a sense of how football has. Taking over a city if a team is going on the kind of run that these guys are and see if it's just all Tebow mania, all Tebow shirts out there. It'd be interesting.
And just one last, I mean, the other thing too is when I'm reading and, you know, even in PFW and some other things, you're looking at the breakdown and they're not the only ones. Tim Tebow leading them with a victory over the Bears. He did not lead them to a victory. He led them to the 41-yard line and a 59-yard field goal bailed his sorry ass out.
Right. He led them
to the 41-yard line, 59-yard field goal by Prater, and then another 51-yarder in overtime.
He led them to low-percentage field goal range.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Exactly. But Prater's been actually real good from 50 yards.
And they showed,
he's been less in the 40-yard range and better in the 50-yard range.
And I think he even said after the game, you know, the climate at that time was really calm and good, and before the game he was hitting from 70 yards or something like that. It's a low-percentage kick, and you need a lot of elements to go your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let alone, you know, the kind of nonsense that has gone on with Dallas the last couple of weeks with, you know, their own coach icing the kicker, then the opposing coach icing the kicker. You have all kinds of elements, but it worked out pretty well for Prater there.
All right, let's get right to these emails and lots of fantasy stuff because this is another big week, right?
This is the week. If you're still alive right now, you're in the playoffs.
Some playoffs started last week.
You know, it's highly unlikely you're in a league that still has a regular season going on. So you're probably either in the playoffs or wildly disappointed because you got 8-9 months now before your next real fantasy football week. So
Mike was ready to jump.
There you go. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from you.
All right. Yeah. Higgy and Hopkinton says right away, hi guys, looking for a playoff win and hoping for some playoff answers. I have three problems. Should I go with Tebow or Cam Newton? I'm going up against a guy who has Tom Brady, so I'm shaking in my boots. Should I, let's start with that one.
Okay. Tebow or Cam Newton, Newton going against Houston. And, you know, on the one hand, Houston has secured its playoff spot, not necessarily a seeding, but a playoff spot. You know, you wonder, I can't imagine they'll be sitting guys because they still have a lot to play for. But, Cam Newton and those 13 rushing touchdowns, even going against Houston, I think you've got to go Newton. Because here's the thing. I think this game with the Patriots and Broncos, I think there's a reasonable chance that the Patriots jump out to a 17-3 kind of lead. And if you're putting the Broncos in a position where Tebow has to pass the ball a lot, I don't think that works for him. I actually think Tebow is going to double his total interceptions for the season. He has two coming in. I think he has two touchdowns. I bet he runs for one. I bet he has reasonable yardage because I think he's going to throw maybe more than usual in this game.
I think he has to throw more than usual.
As what team wouldn't against the Patriots?
You have to.
But I think Newton is going to have a better overall game. I'd give Newton the edge over Tebow.
And people are going to get caught up in the trap, just going back about, because what happened in Washington a little bit and what happened at the end of the Indianapolis game, and they're going to apply it to this game. And all I'm saying is just be very careful.
Right.
Be very careful.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, be careful is absolutely right. But even if you're the Washington offensive coordinator, the Denver offensive coordinator, even if you're John Fox, you still look at this Patriots defense and this Patriots secondary and you say, I don't care if Tim Tebow is my quarterback and he throws a left-handed pass that takes 10 seconds to get out of his hand, I'm still going to take my shots against this secondary, and why shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't they? Honestly, why shouldn't they?
They should.
Yeah.
Patriots should take it against theirs. Again, Dawkins and Goodman limited today in the injury report.
Okay, no, and that's big.
Bruton is out, did not participate. And for the Patriots, Chung and Vollmer did not practice. Everybody else is, I'll go through the names later on, but a whole bunch of players limited today.
Probably, I would have to think a good chance that Sterling Moore gets activated again. Yeah. I mean, he's on the practice squad right now.
And,
with Chung, it's been weird because – even though he's missed the last four games, he's practiced, at least limited practice, every single day until this week. So
had this been a playoff week, I think he'd be playing. I just think look at the schedule and the competition they're going up against. I'm not.
But the fact that he's not out there at all.
That's true.
It tells me that there must have been a setback because it's appeared as though he's been close. So.
You're right.
Hard to say.
Should I run with Helu or Felix Jones?
Great question there because Felix Jones now with DeMarco Murray out, he's going to get the chances. He's absolutely going to get the chances. And Dallas going against against Tampa Bay. That's
Tampa
a Saturday
Bay.
Game. So you've got that extra layer of decision making here. But Roy Helu, I think against the Giants, I think he's ready for another big game. I really do. I've been really impressed. It might be a toss-up. I'm going to lean toward Helu, the hot hand.
And, I think you have
to. Felix Jones, I think he gets the opportunities. I'm still not sold on him. Interesting, Sammy Morris was signed by Dallas this week. He's their backup running back now. I'm not saying from a fantasy standpoint, don't go get him. But good for him. He's a Texas guy. And what's interesting is, unfortunately, 2007, he got crushed in a game against Dallas, in Dallas. I think it was a chest injury and was out for the year, and that was a disappointment for him. But give me Helu over Jones, but slight edge.
And defensive back Malcolm Williams has been released by the Patriots.
Well, there you go. That's the only transaction on there?
Yes.
Well, I'd be surprised if Sterling Moore, because Sterling Moore probably
activated in about 10 minutes.
He'll be activated pretty soon. would be my guess, unless something else has popped up. But it must have been a rough practice for Malcolm Williams.
Absolutely. Right. Third part of this question: which defense should I pick and play this week? Bengals versus Rams, Falcons versus Jacksonville, Cardinals versus Cleveland, Bears versus Seattle. Give your thoughts, and then I have.
Well, Falcons against Jacksonville, you'd have to make that decision in the next 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would go with the Falcons. It's a good defense because Blaine Gabbert and all that. I really think very little about Cleveland right now. Colt McCoy, not that he's anything special.
Ding, ding, ding,
he's,
ding.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
Seneca Wallace is going to be playing. Their running game has not gotten going. I'd probably go with the Cardinals. Bengals, though, Bengals have been a good defense. maybe not so as good recently, and the Rams are terrible as well. I'd narrow it down for if I'd narrow it down to the Cardinals and Bengals, but I'd probably lean toward the Cardinals.
Love the Cardinals in that situation. Love them there.
Yeah, that's a Cleveland. We were talking about Cleveland a lot last week because that was the Thursday night game, Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And I think we both expected what actually happened, which was very little offense out of Cleveland.
Exactly,
very
and,
little.
They started out with a 3-0 lead, and that was that. And then the only reason why they hung around because Batch came in and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the Bears there. I got to say, I the competition level hasn't always been there, but I've been fairly impressed with Seattle's offense of late.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch has been one of the top three or four running backs in the league the last 6 weeks, and even their passing game, some of these absolute no names in their among their wide receivers have come through. So the Bears are good, but I'd still go probably Cardinals and then Bengals.
Kevin Ohio says, "Hey guys, I'm in round two of the playoffs, and I have a question about which tight end to play. I have Vernon Davis, Jake Ballard, Jermaine Grisham to choose from. What do you think? Thanks."
Well, Davis has slowed down a bit. Ballard has been, hot and cold. I mean, he gets some touchdowns, but
he's hot last. He's been
yeah,
hot.
No, he has.
More so lately, yeah.
Grisham, I think, has an injury problem right now. He'd be an interesting one. Yeah, Vernon Davis against Pittsburgh. Monday Nighter. If this is you have all three of these, I don't know. Maybe Ballard is the play.
I think Ballard, because of the other matchup, I think that would be my pick.
We saw what kind of problems the Redskins had against tight ends with the Patriots.
And
it wasn't just. I mean, everyone's had problems with Gronkowski, but Aaron Hernandez got open and had some good yards after the catch. Yeah, I'd probably lean toward Ballard among these three. Ballard over Davis.
Can't go wrong. I don't think you can go wrong there. This week anyway. Hang on. Getting, there we go.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete and Bilo. I write in and ask, this is from Joshua. I write in and ask a question about my lineup, but I don't really have any. With Gronk Brady, and is this.
I think it's a fantasy related, but not really a question.
Yeah, it's not really a question.
Well, so, that's all right.
Well,
I'll
read that one later. There's another one. That's
here's what happens. You know, the emails slow down, Pete, because now 75% of people who are in fantasy football leagues have nothing to play for. So what kind of questions do they have?
Yeah,
doesn't mean we don't have topics to discuss.
Oh, no, there's tons of topics. Let me check my Facebook page here because other people are.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. But most of them are ripping Tebow in Denver.
Well, we can get more into that.
But there are some. Let's just and again, email us webradio@patriots.com your fantasy football questions because nobody's better than Bilo in this stuff. Wow. There are a lot of intriguing games and everybody. And it's, again, starting tonight, Atlanta
yeah,
and
tonight,
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Jacksonville got humiliated. I mean, humiliated yeah, Tampa Bay
exactly.
last week. Really, really scorched.
Maurice Jones drew four touchdowns, I think he had.
First time they scored 40 points in, I think, 7 years or something like that.
How's Del Rio think about that?
Oh, my
first
God.
First game out. Was this first game out or second?
Second.
Oh, second because they had the Monday Nighter. Tampa Bay has maybe been, if not the most disappointing team in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is, but Tampa Bay, in terms of a team that everyone thought would be the up-and-comer, they've been wildly disappointing, highlighted by that game the other day. And, I do think Atlanta
Big game for them.
Big
this
game
week.
For Atlanta, and they're one of those teams that's just hard to figure. I mean, that NFC wild card situation right now, teams are just losing. I mean, 2 weeks ago they all lost. Like every team in the running for the wild card lost.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, you had it was a little bit of a different deal. But Atlanta has an opportunity to, get that number five, spot, and it would probably give them a game against. Green Bay. Against Dallas or
Dallas
New York.
Or maybe. Well, let's see what happens. I mean,
probably Dallas.
If they get two teams in, I don't know.
But the division winner.
Division winner, yeah.
Would be four. The NFC East winner because you got Green Bay one.
Yeah.
Probably New Orleans or San Francisco.
Right now, I pick the Giants.
I do too.
I think the Giants. I have a feeling the Giants may not lose.
I think if it comes down to that last game of the season, Giants Dallas. Give me the Giants.
Yeah, no question.
The Giants.
No
last
question.
Year, give me the Giants.
Absolutely.
Give me the Giants. But I think tonight. I think tonight is going to be a big game for Michael Turner in particular. I don't know if it's going to be as big for Matt Ryan, but I think it's going to be a big running night for Atlanta. And as far as Jacksonville, it's one of those things where Maurice Jones-Drew is that offense. So on the one hand, he's the offense. He's going to get the carries. He's going to get the touches. If there's going to be touchdowns to be had, he'll get them. But on the other hand, he is the offense. Atlanta will be focusing fully on him and trying to make Blaine Gabbert beat them. Blaine Gabbert can't beat them. So I think it's a pretty good night for the Atlanta defense. Maybe not as good a night for Maurice Jones-Drew.
Now, last year, you might remember, you somewhat disgraced yourself by giving someone mindset of throwing the game, their fantasy team.
Ah, yes.
So he is Rob in Dublin, Ireland. He says, "Hi, guys. I tried to throw the game last week against the top team, but unfortunately, I still won. Sucks, right?" He says, "Karma, right?" Well, no. I won and ended up finishing top of the regular season table. By losing against me, my opponent somehow ended up all the way down in fourth place. So now we meet again in the semifinals, and he still hasn't taken Matt Schaub and Matt Forte out of his lineup.
See, that's
so even,
just...
so even though attempting to throw the game didn't work, it still looks like I'm headed to the 2011 Fantasy Bowl. Thanks, guys. Rob in Dublin, Ireland.
All's well that ends well, isn't it?
Wow.
All's well that ends well.
Well, this guy, well, I mean, is this guy and his opponent in a hospital bed or something? I mean, or maybe just doesn't,
you know,
care, or
I'll
he was
tell
so,
you,
got so disgusted?
Unfortunately, Pete.
How do you go this far and keep those two guys on your team?
Unfortunately, you get, you know.
Despite your unethical advice. You know?
I remember when I'm in college, when I was in a league with, you know, all my college friends, and I'm still in a league with most of those guys. We were so into it. Everyone was into it. Then you start getting a little later in life, and you get those one or two people who are still into it. They're still in it.
Yeah.
Half-heartedly, and they kind of lose interest by midseason. And like this, Matt Schaub, Matt Forte. Or you have leagues with people from work, and someone gets pressured into being in the league just for the camaraderie, but lose interest and simply don't change their lineup. To me, there's no excuse. With football,
yeah, exactly.
All you got to do is check your lineup once a week.
That's it. How long does it take? Five minutes?
Check your lineup once a week. If a guy has a bye, get rid of him.
Yep.
You might have to do some free agency here and there. You can get through a football season without even considering trades. I don't even know. I don't care if you don't even consider a trade. Check your lineup once a week. Make sure no one has a bye or no one's completely out for the season or out for that game. Just have a competitive lineup.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
It's no fun for the
take
rest of the guys.
Take some pride in your team.
It's no fun for the rest of the guys. So, hey, Rob, I'm happy all's well that all is well that ended well. You know, my ethical rant last week. Hey, it is what it is. You got to look out for yourself, don't you? But he did have one question, I think, for this week though. Laurent Robinson or Antonio Brown?
Oh, yes,
he had on the bottom.
Yeah.
Laurent Robinson or Antonio Brown? I'll tell you, I thought Laurent Robinson would tail off with Miles Austin coming back, but to me, Antonio Brown is becoming a breakout star. I thought last week, I remember talking about Pittsburgh,
yes,
Pittsburgh,
did, yeah.
Cleveland, and
he,
a few people asked about Antonio Brown.
Brown a lot.
He had one huge touchdown catch in that game, which really made it a huge game for him. It wasn't before that, he didn't have a ton, but I still like Antonio Brown. With Dallas against Tampa, it should be a shootout. It shouldn't be a shootout. Dallas should be able to score. So I kind of like Laurent Robinson too, but I'd give Antonio Brown the edge.
It's just this one of those games for Dallas where I put the red caution flag up because it's liable to screw it up. They should win and they should win easily in Tampa.
Boy,
but
they screw
there's
that
no
one up.
There's no easy wins for the Dallas Cowboys. There just
never
aren't, especially on the road.
Yeah.
QW says, "Hi guys, got a question. Who should I start, Tebow against Pats or Stafford against the Raiders?"
Tebow against the Pats or Stafford against the Raiders. I've got to go Stafford. I mean, teams are just destroying the Raiders' secondary. And as long as Stafford is healthy, which, you know, he is now, you got to go Stafford. Absolutely have to go Stafford. I don't know if it's still the case, but Oakland, as of recently, had given up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. I think maybe Minnesota has them now. Or was it the most rushing touchdown? Oakland is right up there in the most passing touchdowns allowed. You got to go Stafford.
I think
gotta
so.
Got to go Stafford.
It's just still too much of a wild card with Tebow in a matchup like this where he could be behind by multiple scores early, and we'll see. And even though the Patriots secondary is what it is, we all know, it's still a big gamble.
Yeah.
Kevin says,
"It is what it is."
"B-Lo, I'm in the playoffs still in both my leagues. There is money involved, so pay attention because I know you're not the brightest guy in the world."
Wow, Kevin, you really appreciate that.
I'm not
the brightest guy in the world.
"For the defense, I have the Arizona defense who's hosting Cleveland or the 49ers D hosting Pitt. Who you got?" Let's start with that one.
You know, the 49ers D.
I don't like the
been,
tone of that email, by the way.
I don't either. I don't
guy
like the person
like
who
jerk.
Wrote it. Yeah. The 49ers D.
I think he's right in the other room.
No. The 49ers D still has not allowed a rushing touchdown. Absolutely
I
remarkable. just stunning. I mean, it's never the last time. It was something like 1920, the last time a football team didn't allow a rushing touchdown. You're playing Rashard Mendenhall this week. That's a tough one. It'd be hard. It's hard to bench the Niners D the way they're going, but it's hard to pass up Arizona against Cleveland. I think this is a matchup play. If those are your two defenses, Arizona and the Niners, I think you go with the matchup this week.
Yeah,
I think you go with the matchup this week.
Let's see. Then for a flex wide receiver, I need two out of the three, following three. Darren Sproles at Minnesota, Brandon Marshall at Buffalo, Laurent Robinson at Tampa Bay.
I love Sproles this week. Minnesota has given up the most passing touchdowns, and I think it's going to be – Darren Sproles is like fourth in the NFL in catches. He's got, I want to say it's six touchdowns on the year. I bet he has two touchdowns one way or the other. I think he's a phenomenal flex option for this week. They're in a dome. That's their comfort zone. And even with some of the running back flux, I don't remember what Mark Ingram's status is this week from in terms of what I've seen. But I would say Darren Sproles is the best of those three. I like Marshall, too. I like Laurent Robinson, too. But Sproles, I think, is in for a monster game, Kevin.
All right, one last one. We got a bunch of emails, but we'll get to Buddy Poker Mike in a second. One more. This is from Todd, who says, "Wow, this is almost like people need a psychiatrist and psychologist." And
once you get to this point in the fantasy season, oh yeah,
he says, "Help!" Todd says, "I lost Brett Jackson early this year, and now I lose Jennings. I was able to pick up Demaryius Thomas off waivers to replace him. Please help me with my inconsistent yet talented wide receiver choices. I point per reception, 1 point per reception league, and need three of the following: Victor Cruz versus Washington, Vincent Jackson versus Baltimore." It goes on. Santana Moss versus the Giants, Julio Jones versus Jacksonville, and Dem Thomas versus New England.
Well, you know, his point on Vincent Jackson is that
correct,
most of his touchdowns have come against terrible pass defenses, including
right,
New England. And, you know, San Diego against Baltimore, I don't love the Vincent Jackson matchup either.
I hate it.
I think Victor Cruz against Washington is definitely a great start. Mm-hmm. You know, Julio Jones tonight, I think, is an okay start. I'm not wild about him. I don't think I'm as high on him as a lot of other people are. Moss against the Giants, you know, I think that's a pretty good one, too, because the Giants' secondary is pretty weak, and they give up a lot of passing yards. I like Demaryius Thomas, but I probably wouldn't start him this week because he's got three touchdowns the last 2 weeks, I think. But, I don't have a great feel for him this week. I'd probably go Cruz, Julio Jones tonight. Hard to sit him. And boy, Jackson against Baltimore. I bet you're going to see him ranked a lot higher than he should be in a lot of cases.
I would not play
him. I might
him
go
this
Moss.
Week. I agree with you.
I might go Moss.
I would go Moss.
Yeah,
there. I know it's a tough call for people to sit Jackson.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, and I know he says he's currently planning on starting Cruz, Jones, and Thomas. So Cruz and Jones, I guess we're in agreement with. Jackson, Moss, or Thomas. Yeah, I might give Moss the edge because
but
of
then
the
you got Baltimore on the road, and they do sometimes. You know their defense doesn't play as well.
And,
lost
you know,
in Seattle.
Sandy, yeah.
I mean, Seattle lit them up.
Yeah,
and did some interesting things.
And
it's a tough one. Baltimore on the road's tough.
And San Diego, as we were talking about earlier,
they're
coming on a little bit, coming on strong. They might have something going for themselves now, and maybe Vincent Jackson is the right guy to exploit it. I don't know, but we're in agreement with Cruz and Jones is what you have to decide on tonight. My thought is I'd lean towards Santana Moss, as unsexy as that is, that's what I would say.
All right, let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. By the way, you can still email us, webradio at patriots.com, and also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Poker Mike, when I saw him Monday below, it was just it was devastating, and he said it would take about 48 to 72 hours to recover. So
we're past that point.
Are you okay, Mike? I forgot your story, what happened, but I know the Giants in Dallas had a lot to do with it.
Hey, guys.
Oh, he sounds pretty down. I guess you needed more than that 72-hour mark.
Fantasy football is all about having fun, and it's been a badass year. I just came up short. What can I say?
Well, I thought you were still alive.
Well, no, I split my game.
Okay.
The big league, I didn't get it done. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say I didn't get it done, B-Lo. I actually had a very productive week. I just ran into a better team last year. I went into the game a 40-point favorite.
Wow.
Wow.
But I got beat.
Wow.
Well, who did you win on the Giants?
I'm not at a loss for words, and I kind of am this week, so.
Who did you win on the Giants, you said?
I went against Knicks and Eli. So, wow. Basically, Bilo, what happened was I was ahead for most of the day.
Yep.
And I was all done after the 4 o'clock. I was up, at one point, I was up like 60. So I knew I was going to need to be up around 50 or so going into that Sunday night game.
Yep.
And unfortunately, who do you have to start? He started Marion Barber. So he had that touchdown, and he caught that pass towards the end, which kind of got him a little bit closer. Anyways, I wound up being up 40 points going into that night game. So I signed off. I was on the site. I said, you know, congratulations to my opponent. Tried to, like, jinx it.
Yeah.
And I was looking okay for that first half. We were joking, and I said, watch Eli come out flat. Watch him come out flat and just, he's going to tease me. He's going to have a miserable first half,
yep.
And I'm going to still be ahead.
You know you're Eli.
Oh, you saw it. What happened? He hit Knicks on that one bomb early, but then he struggled. I was up like 20 points going into the second half, and that botched deep the defensive play where Manningham scored on that long touchdown pretty much ate me alive.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And so if Tony Romo connected with Miles Austin on that deep ball, after the Giants had the first of their two late touchdowns, you would have won?
You want to hear? Yeah.
Because that would have prevented.
Crazy is that I was down, I think, a point or two. I was in Medford with some friends. I was so disgusted after that touchdown that I left. So I'm driving home. It was no music. I was just in my own little world, and I checked to see if Eli had thrown any picks.
While you were driving.
On interception. So
while you were driving.
While I'm driving on the expressway.
You're under arrest, young man.
Oh, wait, is that wrong?
It wasn't good. Anyway, so I'm going to kill this. I promised I wasn't going to get emotional. But basically what happened after that Eli pick, Bilo, I was up 2 points. I checked my score. And then there was like 5 minutes to go. And I'm like, oh, my God, Dallas had the ball. They could run this clock out, and
yep.
It's over. And then he hit Dez Bryant on that bomb, and then the floodgates opened, and they scored like 28 yep. more points in the final 4 minutes.
That's the way it was.
And that was it.
Well, that's the end of your season.
I went through my other league with you guys last week. That was kind of like my makeshift lineup where I started Flacco. I started Daniel Thomas. I had to start Damian Williams. And by some miracle, well, it wasn't a miracle. It was Maurice Jones-Drew. I won my game in that league.
Yeah.
So I split it. So I got something to cheer for. Either way you shake it, it was a fun. You know, it was a fun year. It's cruel. Head to head fantasy matchups are cruel.
Well,
so
it is cruel. I actually was still in the running.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Well, I was in the running I have four leagues going, and I was in the running in three of them. One of them I was definitely in. The other two I was on the outside looking in, yep. but had a chance. Now, the one with my friends from college, who I've been in for a long time, it was a scenario where I needed to win, and I needed one other game to go in a certain way. I needed one other guy to lose, and I'm in.
Yep.
And I got obliterated. I made the worst part about it was – now, the guy I was playing – had Greg Jennings,
yeah.
among others, and Greg Jennings goes down.
I'm thinking
that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I made one terrible decision. I moved Maurice Morris into a flex spot.
Yep.
Who did I take out? Roy Helu.
Oh,
Roy Helu.
Well,
I still would have lost.
Yeah.
But my thinking was Smith wasn't going to play.
Right.
Yeah. Detroit was playing. Help me out.
I had him in too.
Yeah.
I got it right here.
Detroit. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh,
on
they played Minnesota.
They played Minnesota. Yeah. I figured this could yeah. be a shoe. Could be a great all around game. And with Helu, I figured, all right, you know, teams have more success passing against the Patriots.
Right.
The Patriots' run D had been better than the mm-hmm. pass D, mm-hmm. and I thought I just had a feeling that the Helu bubble would kind of crash a little bit. Well, obviously I was dead wrong. Maurice Morris, I don't even think cracked 10 yards rushing.
He actually had a whopping 13 yards.
13 yards.
Wow.
So it was
he had two fantasy points.
Now,
he did catch a ball for 3 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
well,
it didn't I had him in also. I'm telling you.
Well, it was that combination between that and a guy who was on my bench who had one of the top two or three receiving days of the entire NFL slate, Nate Washington.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I had Nate Washington. And with that one, the fact that he did so well, I was obviously frustrated, but I still felt like I made a sound decision.
Right.
This was a guy who was injured. It wasn't like he's part of a prolific passing attack. I found out that he was going to play before it was time to set the lineup, but I said, you know what? I just don't feel comfortable with him. And drawing a blank on who I had in there, but Nate Washington and Roy Helu on my bench really doomed me. And then fortunately, I'm in. I'm very much alive and feel good about my team that is in the playoffs this week. Drew Brees, Arian Foster, Baltimore D. Those are among the Baltimore D this week is a little bit of a struggle, but
right.
Foster and Brees, those are my two linchpins. So
well, you actually hit it because I wasn't going to bring it up because I was dead wrong. But last Thursday we talked about Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, we mentioned that earlier, and he had one really long touchdown, but he definitely had a big
night.
Oh,
he was lights out.
Yeah, big night.
Up around 150 yards, I believe.
Yep.
I know he had 28 points. I took him out of my lineup.
Did you?
I don't know how I won this game. I literally I took out Robinson. Because you can't take that risk. It was a night game, so we said it. Fantasy playoffs, like, there's no turning back, so if a guy's questionable, you can't really take that risk.
Yeah.
So I sat Robinson. I sat Brown. Again, I shouldn't have won the game. Maurice Jones-Drew came through. I'm psyched at the fact that this week I'm able to get another crack at it, so I'm obviously putting Antonio Brown and Robinson back in. I got a couple of questions for you. I know you guys are sitting here talking about Tebow, but
we opened with Tebow.
Pete, come on now. Just this is fantasy related stuff here, and
that's
good.
We roll with our hearts, and I roll
with both.
Buddy that got a hold of me right before the show, and he asked this question, and it's I don't think it's as difficult as what I'm looking at, but he said, Mike, do I go Matt Ryan tonight or do I go with Tebow against the Patriots? I went with Matt Ryan, and I felt as though both of you were going to agree with me there just simply because of how on fire Ryan has been. But, Pete, you can't knock Tebow on this matchup. This is a pretty good matchup.
I'm not knocking him on his matchup, and I'm not saying the Patriots are going to win by 50 points. I think they're going to win comfortably when it's all said and done, but that doesn't mean Tebow won't put up, you know, somewhat decent fantasy numbers as he has in other games. He certainly didn't on last week at all.
Yeah,
in a couple of other games he hasn't, and he's also been turning the ball over again. Not maybe with interceptions, but he's fumbling the ball.
Yeah. Right.
But against the net yards the Patriots give up. I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, you can't get around that.
Yeah.
What do you think? So, I mean, that's a no-brainer, right, Bilo?
Ryan over Tebow? I would go Ryan over Tebow. I think Tebow. I said this earlier. I think Tebow has two picks in this game, which doubles what he's had in the past. Yeah. I think the Broncos will go in thinking what a lot of other quarterbacks, a lot of other offenses have been doing. We're going to attack the Patriots secondary. Even if Tim Tebow's our quarterback and he's unconventional, we're going to attack the secondary. He'll get some yards. He may even throw one or two touchdowns. I think he has two interceptions and, you know, okay numbers overall. I think Matt Ryan has a much cleaner game tonight. I don't think it's going to be a prolific 350-yard passing and four touchdown day, but I think he's going to have 250 yards and two touchdowns, and I'd probably go with Ryan.
Yep. What about Flacco or Tebow?
Flacco on the road against San Diego.
Right.
A tough one.
I'd probably have to go with Tebow there.
Yeah.
It comes down to the same reasons why Tebow is ranked high. He's going to get some rushing yardage. He's going to score probably a rushing touchdown. I just think the interceptions are going to be a little bit of more of a factor for him this week than they have been in most of the games he's played. But I'd give him the edge over.
I think
Flacco.
Interceptions, and I think the Patriots are going to take at least a 1% of the game that the Jets did well, which was when Bart Scott smashed him early on in that game, and that's what they're going to have to treat Tebow and, in my opinion, Tebow and McGahee like they treated Marshall Faulk in 2001.
Take him
which
away.
Which I don't care where
away.
They are on the field, you whack them
every
single time. And to be honest, I think they're going to get I think the Broncos are going to be in for a little bit of surprise defensive from the Patriots' defensive standpoint coming up on Sunday.
Take them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know that's true. And
keep hitting them. Remember, Bart Scott smashed him, and then all of a sudden they didn't hit him again.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like they hit him again.
Defenses have been changing their approach late in the game against Denver. They have.
So. We'll have to make that decision because I'm actually in that position right now. I had Matt Moore as an option, but he's a little banged up, so you really can't trust him there. I don't think Flacco. I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to flip a coin come Sunday and just kind of see which way I feel. But I mean, it's kind of a 50-50 on that one.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Antonio Brown. Robinson's in the lineup. Guys out there that are sitting that have been frustrated because they haven't been sure what Kevin Smith is going to do, I think this is a week that you can trust him. We talked about Maurice Morris. It's just a kind of a lost cause there. Kevin Smith, flex position, number two guy. I think he's in a pretty good spot right there this week. Another guy. Would you like to add?
No. I did see that he's returned to practice. He was limited, but
they said he was looking pretty good.
It sounds like I think they're confident he's going to play against the Raiders. So good matchup.
Yep. So we're looking at Kevin Smith there. I'm in a bit of a pickle with my flex position. I had to start Daniel Thomas last week just because I'm out of options.
Oof.
But I was able to pick up Demaryius Thomas, which is another guy, and this is miserable that these guys are all playing against the Pats, but this is another guy here, 13 targets last week.
Yeah.
He's looking pretty good. I know Decker's kind of the guy that they want him to be it, but it's not happening right now.
He's gone to Thomas quite a bit. Did you happen to see, we were talking a little bit about the mic'd up segment last night with Tim Tebow on NFL Network?
I missed that.
And one of the elements
ESPN2,
of it.
Wasn't ESPN2?
No, it was NFL. It was on NFL Network. Wasn't it?
Was it on the NFL?
Okay. Yeah, they do a weekly NFL.
Oh yes, that's it. Yeah, and ESPN too did the whole day when Tebow got drafted.
Oh, they mentioned Tebow too. They had a Tebow.
Yeah,
segment.
Believe it or not. Well, they did the whole hour about from mic'd up from the whole time. I think it's a repeat, but it was from right during heading to this right after they won the national championship to the Senior Bowl. Okay. How pathetic he was.
Well, this was
all
just
the way until he got drafted, and it ended like the Sopranos with the 22nd pick the Broncos take, and the screen went blank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. This was just from the game again on Sunday in Chicago, and you know he. Tebow on the bench, puts his arm around Thomas after a drop and all that.
You'll get
and
the
says,
next one,
and
buddy.
Says, we're going to you. You're going to make the game-winning catch. You're going to be the hero of this game.
Yeah.
It was kind of hokey, but the bottom line is,
how about the singing?
The singing, the preaching, the praying. It's pretty wild. But the bottom line is, after that little situation on the bench, he did go to Thomas for a touchdown. So I think Thomas is a guy that he's been looking to in crunch time for touchdowns. Decker is far and away their leading receiver, but the last 2 weeks, Thomas has really come on strong. So what was the question?
And don't forget Eddie Royal's coming back this week too, possibly.
Yeah, Eddie Royal's coming back. Yeah. What was the?
It wasn't really a question. I actually have Thomas in as my flex right now. I've said in the past as far as that flex spot, I feel much more comfortable starting a running back just simply because you know they're getting the touches.
That's how I generally look at it, too. Ty goes to the running back.
You have to. But in this spot, here I am, I'm beat up here. It's either Demaryius Thomas, I'm looking at it now, or Daniel, it's a Thomas party, Thomas.
Then it's Demaryius.
Or it could be, I have Santonio Holmes on my bench this week. I know he's pulling in that, the 7 or 8 points just simply because he's getting in the end zone, but I've lost faith there. I've had him starting all year, and he really hasn't done much for me, so I'm not going to put him in that spot. So I think Demaryius Thomas is the choice.
I would agree there.
So, the matchups, quickly, you guys talked about Baltimore and San Diego. That's a huge game right there.
Yeah.
These teams are still playing, as we said. The division races are close, and these guys are playing, so we're going to get the best out of them. That's definitely the game of the week, Baltimore and San Diego.
But what I think is intriguing for some players, another intriguing game I think this week, because Kyle Orton is starting for Kansas City, is the Chiefs against that Packers secondary. So, if you're in crunch time and you get some Chiefs receivers, this might be the week to go with a couple of them, too.
Yeah, Bo.
Absolutely.
The killer, Bo, Baldwin, Breston.
Yep.
Could be. New coach.
New coach.
Maybe you see if there's a little bit of that inspires them at all. But you're right. Orton is a legitimate, at least he's a competent NFL quarterback, unlike the guy who's been playing for them the last 4 weeks.
Yep.
But the guys that kind of stick out, just to throw some names out for people that are having problems, you guys talked about Felix Jones. I mean, what a remarkable spot for him to be in now, especially with this matchup this week at Tampa Bay. Look for him to light them up. I actually really like, obviously, Arian Foster's the man in Houston, but Ben Tate this week, I am the guy that bashes Carolina's run defense.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna see Ben Tate in this game. If you're in a pinch, obviously number two running back or a flex, you could roll with Ben Tate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just don't like giving credit to, but he is what it is. He is what he is.
Yeah.
I kind of like Brandon Jacobs this week. He's been scoring touchdowns. He's running with some fire, actually. And Ahmad Bradshaw, with him being with bench for the first half
yep.
was incredible, actually.
Yeah.
And he actually he disappointed a lot of fantasy owners this past week because they had him in his lineup, in their lineups, prime time, big game, you know, looking like a shootout. Mm-hmm. And he really didn't do much for them, but I like it. I like yep. Jacobs this week.
Yeah, yeah, he's a tough guy to root for, but I like him too.
You're absolutely right. He is what he is.
Yeah.
One final running back that I just think it's a sneaky situation for him, and he's been such a disappointment. But this is definitely a week to get him in your lineups. Is Peyton Hillis? I know he's been hurting.
Listen
to me. You really think so?
I believe it. B-Lo, I participate in. I won't get into it, but it's a weekly fantasy thing that not just my regular fantasy leagues. We're working
more of a real degenerative type of thing.
Anyway,
okay, the true degenerate. Okay,
this is you have no idea. We could talk off the air sometime. But Peyton Hillis, I actually put him in my lineup. I think he's just they're going to run the ball against Arizona. I know you guys were talking about Arizona's D. I'm not saying to start him as your number one back and hope that he's going to run for 150 yards and three touchdowns. But if you're in a pinch. Peyton Hillis is a guy that I think finally he has a decent week for you. That's just my take.
Yeah,
they give up a lot of sacks. That offensive line gives up a lot. I think it's I like the Cardinals defense a lot this week. I really do. I think if you have the Cardinals defense, that'd almost be number one on my. That'd be one of the top choices I would have for a fantasy football defense is to start Arizona this week.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, I don't see that offense doing much. I mean. If he gets one touchdown, it would be of the goal line variety. They somehow get down to the goal line. He doesn't have a lot of stats. I don't see
how one dimensional they're going to be this week.
They're going to be one dimensional.
All right, well, you know what, fellas? I've been wrong before, and
so
I
have
will admit it. When I go against you, it hasn't really fallen in my favor. But right.
Just be careful. I'm just saying,
against this pick.
Just be
I'm
careful.
I'm going to lock Peyton Hillis up as one of my starts of the
okay.
week.
Okay, well, we'll keep Peyton Hillis in mind for next week.
You know, B-Lo, I got to reach somewhere, man.
You sure?
I got to throw in my 2 cents here and there. But you know what? Just go with your gut. Final word for me. I did it last week, and thankfully it didn't bite me. People they're not starting the guys they should be starting. Just basically, because we're at playoff time and they're nervous. How can I allow myself to not start the right guy this week, the most important weeks of the season? And I had another friend that mentioned we didn't talk about Cedric Benson this week, who has a really juicy matchup. He was debating about starting Cedric Benson and taking out Marshawn Lynch. And I said to him, and you guys,
right,
no,
the hot hand,
no way.
That. How can you do it? How can you take out?
Oh,
the
I think Benson. Well, that's a good matchup this week, though. I think, but not as good as Lynch.
I agree. That's just. The moral of my story is that guys are they're guys and girls they're just there's questions and they're not going they're overthinking it I guess is what I'm saying. I did it last week with Antonio Brown and I'm trying not to do it this week. Put your best players in your lineup.
Yep.
They're the ones that got you here.
You go with the ones that got you.
And if you don't get it done, you don't get it done. So with that said,
I like it.
All right, Mikey.
Emails to get to, gentlemen.
We
I'm
got
not
a few, but
as I was last week. But what are you gonna do?
All right,
well,
Mikey.
Sorry about that one, but good luck this week.
It's all good. All right, go Patriots.
All right.
I'll catch you.
We'll
next
talk
week.
To you next week, Mikey. Thanks. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Again, you can email us webradio@patriots.com. B-Lo is here until 5 o'clock, maybe a little bit later. But let's get to some emails. So Rob from Dublin writes back, says one last from across the water. Michael Turner or Felix Jones? You guys are awesome.
Well, thanks for calling us awesome. I'll give the edge to Turner. We talked about Jones, and I think the opportunity is there. I just don't know if he's got it in him to really be that guy. And they do have a good matchup against Tampa Bay, but I do like Michael Turner against Jacksonville tonight. I give edge Michael Turner.
Hey guys, I have two tight ends. It's from Joel. I have two tight ends to choose from. Who should I play? Aaron Hernandez, JerMichael Finley. That's the first part of his question.
Well, I'm going to go with, I might have to go with Hernandez.
I think so.
I'm going to have to go with Hernandez. And, it's amazing. He's the second wide receiver on the team.
He's also
two,
second
but,
in Pro Bowl voting,
but
by the way.
He's second in Pro Bowl voting.
He's amazing. He dropped that touchdown pass last week. I think he is kind of he gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. And I love him. I love his game.
And, I'll tell you what about him. He, for a good stretch there this season, he didn't have quite the same yards after the catch, running with the football, kind of explosiveness as he had last year. But I thought he came through big time in that department against Washington. Some better moves, eluding the avoiding tackles and stuff like that. Yards after the catch put him over the edge to me.
Just can't drop that touchdown pass like he did last week. But You know, he I can't see how the Broncos are going to stop the both of them and Welker. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Also, I have two defenses: Bengals and the Ravens.
Well, it's a lot closer, you know, because Cincinnati's playing St. Louis, and St. Louis has been dreadful. Mm-hmm. Ravens against San Diego. I think you probably have to go with the Bengals.
I think so.
In terms of the matchup, I think the difference between Bengals and Ravens is, believe it or not, not massive. In terms of their defenses, and I think what the matchup is puts it over the edge. I think, as we've talked about, Baltimore at San Diego, there's a chance that San Diego has the spark that it typically gets and maybe explodes and has a big week against Baltimore. So I'm probably going to go with the Bengals.
Good. Email us, webradio@patriot.com, webradio@patriot.com. How about a guy that's really gone off the charts here a little bit, real bad, and is Spiller? I mean, if you got him because of some of the other injuries that happened, Fred, that's got to be a killer.
Yeah.
I mean, not just Fred Jackson, but, you know, Fred Jackson, obviously, and some other boys, because people thought Spiller might do well, but man, what a disaster.
It was worth picking him up when Fred Jackson goes down, because, hey, a guy goes out for the year, you find his backup. That's just what you do. So it was worth picking him up, not worth relying on him right away, if that's what you did. I feel like there have been one or two weeks in this last month since Fred Jackson went down where I have thought that Spiller had a good matchup and was going to break through, and I think he had one game where he was pretty good, but for a first pick in the for number one draft pick, for top whatever he was, top 12 in the draft, he's got the talent, he's got the opportunity now, isn't making the most of it, very disappointing, and, you know, it goes to show you how valuable is Fred Jackson is to that team, because they've really gone a nosedive, and it's other guys in that team too. But, you know, Fred Jackson, not having Fred Jackson has been huge.
And another interesting matchup, I think, if you got a guy, Ryan Matthews this week against Baltimore, that could be, he's been doing very well. But that's another one. If you're forced to start him, you might be in some trouble this week.
Yeah, tough one. It's still, you know, if the offense, if San Diego's offense gets into an early rhythm, then that'll really aid Matthews.
No question.
But I don't think Matthews can generate the offense in and of himself. In other words, if Phillip Rivers is off, I think it's going to hurt Matthews more so than a lot of other, you know, sort of, how does the passing game affect the running game? I think if Rivers is struggling, Matthews will struggle too. But if Rivers is going and they're moving the offense, they're moving the ball pretty well, I think Matthews has a big game.
Dan says, hey, guys, one quick question before you go. Antonio Brown or Roddy White?
Thanks. You got to go White.
Yeah.
You got to go White. It doesn't mean I don't like Antonio Brown. And, you know, I'd be curious to know, you know, if you only start, I'm sure you don't only start one wide receiver, but if it truly is down to Roddy White or Antonio Brown, yeah, you got to go. Got to go Roddy White.
Wow. Below, man, it's another hour that's just flown by.
Another quick hour, huh?
So you're leaving tomorrow.
We're going tomorrow to Denver.
All that hype.
Which should be good. Now, hey, you know, got to get the fantasy lineup set for tonight.
That's right.
Got to get the fantasy lineup set for a Saturday
night
game. Don't overlook that. Don't just check your lineup today. See if you've got anyone on the Falcons or the Jaguars. Get right back at it on Saturday. Check on some of the situations involving Dallas and Tampa Bay. I don't think there's anything too wildly pending, but just make sure you're set up. This is a big week. If you're still alive, if you're still playing, you're playing for something. So make sure those lineups are set and keep tabs.
Absolutely.
Keep tabs on it all.
All right, Bilal, you're the man.
Hey, we'll do it again next week, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're still in playoff alive. Was Mike still alive in one of his playoffs?
Yeah, he was alive, but he was kind of downplaying it.
It must be for less money.
Closest to his heart.
Or it's no money. Right. It's probably, you know.
Right. So no money doesn't matter.
All right, Bilal, we'll talk to you next Thursday at 4 o'clock, my friend.
Sounds good.
And be safe. Have safe travels to Denver.
We'll do.
I know you're glad it's a 4:15 game.
I am. It's actually 2:15 out there.
That's
so when we're out in Denver, I think 2:15 is a great time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn, but you know, you can kind of casually get ready in the morning and then still, game will be over to reasonable
time. Go find Jason Dvorkin out there. Go eat for free at his restaurant.
He better
take care of you guys.
We sure will. He better. You're right. You know, I hope he's listening. He better.
He's listening. All right, Bilal.
Thank you.
Quick break. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Also, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. We're just getting started. Next hour, more about the Patriots and the Broncos coming up. And then Jeff Legwall from the Denver Post will join us as well. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming matchup and the ultimate Pink Hat Bowl coming up in Denver this week. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Pete Shepard here until 6 p.m. on Patriots.com. We're back after this.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back. What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Back here, second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show. We're here until 6 p.m., last show of the week. And man, oh man, the hype for this game is just off the charts. 99% of it's all about Denver. Hardly anybody's about the Patriots. And still today, these chicken bleep national networks refuse to break down this fraudulent 7-1 record that has been attained mostly by Matthew Prater and a couple of pick sixes on defense. They continue to use words and phrases like in the Bears game, like he led them to victory. No, he led them to a 41-yard line stop and then a 59-yard field goal last week. And somehow Barber had two brain farts and they lost the game. But it's a whole list of scenarios like that for the most part. Yes, the man has made a couple of plays here and there. Is he the worst quarterback I've ever seen? No, of course not. Is he a good quarterback? No. Not yet, and I don't know if he will be. I still don't believe. I'm still not sure he's going to be on this team next year, to be honest with you. I know from a PR perspective that might be crazy to say right now, but there are a few games to go here, and let's see what happens when he comes crashing back down to earth with the rest of that team after this game on Sunday. And as people were saying before, if you're bringing up 1-6 records that Brady has against the Broncos, the first one was his rookie year, which I could care less about, even though I think he started off 13-for-13 in that game, or his second year, I should say, in 2001. Patriots actually had a 10-point lead in that game, and then he had four interceptions. One was a Hail Mary, if I remember correctly. But you throw those numbers don't mean anything. They don't mean a damn thing. They hadn't won in Washington either, their whole franchise history and all that stuff. You cannot go into games looking at trends like that because it just doesn't work. The last time they were there was a couple of years ago. They lost 19-16 or 19-17, and it was a couple of absolute Patriots beating themselves. It was one of those stretches where, if you remember, they started off well in the first half. Remember that year? And it was 09, and they could not get it together in the second half. That was one of those stretches where they had like three chances to close the game out in Denver and couldn't. All they needed was a first down and just couldn't get it done. Yeah, whether it was Lawrence Maroney or Brady, a combination of a lot of different goofy things that happened. But this is two totally different teams, two totally different scenarios. So do not put any stock in what the Patriots have done in the past or any other team for that matter. The Jets have never won in Philadelphia either. They're 0-8 going into there on Sunday. I mean, is anybody going to be really shocked if the Jets win that game in Philadelphia? By the way, my pick's coming up in about 40 minutes or so. We're also we're still going to have Jeff Legwald, right, for the Denver Post. He's coming up in a little bit. But email me, webradiopatriots.com, Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETSHEPPARD. And you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Here's Sven in Sweden up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hey, Sven.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, I've been a Patriots fan for a while, but I just discovered your show this season.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that, and thank you very much. I was on last year, too, but thanks a lot.
Yeah, and I really think you're hilarious, especially when you shout the first hour.
Well, you know, I have a lot of, I don't know if you get to see ESPN out there, U.S. version, or it's ESPN Europe or Deport, whatever they show, but I cannot stand the fact that they have just overhyped this game on one side. From a Patriots standpoint, they love it because the Patriots aren't getting any attention, which is what I love. It's all about the quarterback and, religion and stuff that really doesn't mean much. And the fact that these teams, that these networks refuse to break down these games, the last eight games the Broncos have played, and really focus on the truth of the matter. They have focused on flash over substance, and they'll all be eating a lot of crow after Sunday at about 7:15 Eastern time.
Yeah, I really think the same thing about the Broncos, how they won. I think it's really ridiculous, and again, a win is a win, like you said, but it's too exaggerated the way they won. And and also, only last year, I found a way to watch the games online, and I have a little bit more access now to football. I watch a little bit more NFL.com, and I have to agree, I think 99% idiots, and I think you can only work on these on the media if you're an idiot, or you
well,
don't want to work for money.
Well, you're right in a lot of ways, and I'm assuming you're going to be able to see the Patriots game. They're going to show it in Sweden. It's going to be the national game all over the. It's going to be one of the most featured games all over the world, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, are you going to be able to see it live?
Well, you know, I watch it on the internet. That's why.
Okay. Yeah.
Before,
yep.
I don't have the cable, and,
yep.
and you can watch it for free. And I don't want to give money to CBS and all that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, as long as you can see it.
Yeah. And I just wanted to give my thoughts.
Sure.
I love Elvis Dumervil and a lot of these players, but, I really think the Patriots are going to score a lot of points. I say minimum 30, of course, but I think they can score 35 easily. I really don't see... this defense being able to, make a struggle throughout the first half because they haven't played against, they haven't played nowhere near an offense like Patriots, so they're going to have a hard time for me.
Exactly.
Against us.
Exactly. And if you look over who they played, when Orton was a quarterback, they played at Green Bay and they got destroyed. 49-23. And then when Tebow came in, they played Miami, and then which was horrible. That under was had no wins at the time and horrible offense. Detroit, which they got spanked there. They lost by 35. And then they had Oakland with Carson Palmer, his first game. He threw three interceptions. Oakland blew a 10-point lead. Kansas City lost Castle. Tyler Palco came in. They squeaked by that one, 17-10, with Tyler Palco at quarterback. The Jets, Mark Sanchez, gave that game away. We all know that. We all saw that. That was just horrible. Despite the drive at the end, that was the Jets absolutely playing like horse crap in that game. San Diego game, Novak misses field goals. They had Philip Rivers, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Bad coaching. They still had a chance to win. San Diego did and blew that. And then Minnesota, Ponder throws a pick six early on and then throws a horrible interception in overtime in that one. Of course, we all know what Marion Barber did last week, giving that game away after the Broncos had mustered up just about zero offense in that game for the most part. That it was just meaningless and could have ran that game out. It should have been a 10-0 Bears win, but they played horrible. They played stupid football and lost. So.
Yeah. Then I just have two points.
Sure.
One that you could discuss with me. Another one, I'll hang up.
Yeah.
You can talk with Jeff. One is, I've been watching on NFL.com, and it was a video. Maybe you probably saw it, but about who will be on top of the top AFC seed, and they've all taken. I think it was, Warren Sapp is really an idiot.
Yeah,
and they've all. Chosen the
Baltimore.
Plus, it was Jalen Rose, but he's a basketball player. What's he doing there?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see Jalen Rose make football picks, but that's interesting.
Well, anyway, they've all taken the Steelers and the Ravens because they have great defense.
Yeah,
but I don't understand. We have the best quarterback for the last 11 years, and they take the Steelers because they have. I think it's maybe because they're real haters, but I mean, at this point.
Well, they'll go by the one Patriot win over the one Patriot loss in Pittsburgh and think it's gonna be the same kind of scenario, which is how you get yourself in trouble. And when the Patriots won 21 games in a row and Pittsburgh broke that streak a few years ago, what happened in the playoffs when they met again? The Patriots whacked them. And it was in Pittsburgh too, and. Yeah, the defenses were different, but again, the Patriots, another Patriot trend, which usually comes for wishes, they don't usually lose a rematch to a team. Usually do not. That's usually the case. But, I mean, anything can happen. Look, Patriots, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, all those teams, they all have flaws in their own different ways. And the problem I have with a lot of national announcers is they just don't pick up enough on some of the other plot. You saw what happened when Charlie Batch came in for the Steelers the other night. They looked like a Pop Warner team. They were horrible. And Roethlisberger's banged up. I mean, you just don't know. Flacco on the road this year hasn't been all that great. He's had some issues. He's had issues even when they won games. He's had some. I mean, every team has some flaws, but they pick on the Patriots' defense because of the net yardage. And they deserve to be picked on in a lot of ways, and especially Devin McCourty, who's not 100%, and some other guys. And I understand that, but I think people lose perspective with some of the other teams and all the issues they have as well.
So. Yeah, that's actually the third thing, and I'll leave you with that, mm-hmm. is that, you know, I haven't been following all the radio stuff and the blogs, but I've been listening to a bit of the radio shows, and clearly I have a feeling that there are a lot of, maybe not everyone, but a lot of fans who are really negative, and especially the guy that was on the Patriots playbook, he was really harsh on the Patriots, and they all talk about the defense is how it's and how it's really horrible, and I find it weird because, you know, I've missed all the 10 years,
yep.
basically of Patriots football. I couldn't watch the games.
Yep.
And I have a feeling that there are a lot of people who are really harsh on the Patriots, and I find it, you know, a bit exaggerated. That's why.
Well, you're right, Span. Thank you very much. And there's a lot of agenda-driven people out there. There's a lot of phony contrarians out there. A lot of people have made it personal, and not just this team. They do it with other teams around the league as well. And that's why, like I said, I have a really hard time trusting 90% of the analysts on NFL Network and ESPN, because they are wrong so often. They don't bring up coaching points. They bring up personal agenda stuff. And like I said, one of the most blatant things, I mean, I couldn't believe what I saw a couple days ago, and I brought this up yesterday, is when Harrison clearly hits McCoy helmet to helmet. Clearly hits McCoy helmet to helmet. And there is Herm Edwards sitting there on ESPN talking about, you know, hitting breastplates. And Hannah Storm is trying to bail him out. And it's slow motion.
Hello?
And there's Harrison clearly hitting McCoy helmet to helmet. Right, I mean, slow motion, frame by frame, and he's still sitting there saying he didn't think it happened. Now, I don't know how you trust people like that. I just don't. I never have anyway. I think he's all full of crap when it comes to it. I just think a lot of these analysts on these national shows are ridiculously agenda driven. It's personal with some of them, and look, they don't have the guts this week. They don't have the balls this week to go into all these eight games, the last eight games of the Broncos, and look at it frame by frame and look at the quarterbacks they faced and the inept offenses and look at the stupidity of some of the coaching decisions made by the opposition as a big factor, not to mention a great field goal kicker who I believe is the one who should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But let's get a different perspective. Here's Jeff Legwold of the Denver Post joining us here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking a few minutes.
Oh, no worries. Thanks.
I've been saying the last few days everything. I'll tell you what. I think Sports Illustrated got it wrong, despite all the hype of your quarterback, and I understand it, and I know a lot of it, it's not his fault, and I kind of feel bad for Tim in a lot of ways. But why isn't Matthew Prater on the cover of Sports Illustrated the last few weeks? Because, to me, he's been your MVP for the most part. I got to be honest with you.
Well, I guess I'd say his Q rating isn't quite as high as
Tim. Yeah, him, well, it should be.
Tim's a cultural deal. You know, he drives internet hits. He sells magazines, and you know, he's got casual fans and football fans. And you put them together, and you got a guy who's probably the most popular player you can be after 11 career starts.
So. Mm-hmm. No, and you know, I understand all that. Let's get into the specifics of this game. And I've been trying to, you know, And it's nothing personal against him because I like him. I think he's great. All that stuff, everything he stands for, I love it. The religious stuff doesn't bother me. I don't care. I'd rather not see any religion publicized a lot, but whatever. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. I think he's good for the NFL. I think he's good for the game. All that stuff. I just don't think he's ever going to be any serious threat at quarterback. But getting into this game, you know, this week. The Broncos have not come up against an offensive juggernaut like the Patriots since Green Bay, and you know what happened in that game. I just think when you look at the teams that they have played, the quarterbacks they have faced, the horrible coaching decisions that have been made by the opposition, the stupidity of guys like Marion Barber and company. I don't know. I mean, how's this seven and not to mention that Tim's made some plays here and there. But when I look at this winning streak by the Broncos, 7 out of 8, I don't know. To me, I got to tell you, it looks semi-fraudulent going up against the quarterbacks they faced, the offenses they faced, the coaching they faced. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I think always is the case, you play who's in front of you. You know, it's you can't really sort of, you know, and Champ Bailey was saying this the other day, and, you know, he's a good veteran voice in the locker room. And, you know, he said, you know, people, if you look at it, you understand. You understand Adrian Peterson didn't play in Minnesota. You understand Cutler didn't play with Chicago. You know, you understand Christian Ponder's a rookie. You know, you understand the Dolphins were winless when they were down there. I mean, they do understand all that. But, and by the same token, they say, we looked at the schedule and they showed up, you know, when the games were supposed to be and they played them. So, I mean, they're not going to apologize for it, but they're not overly gloating about all this and declaring themselves, you know, a Super Bowl threat.
They I know the player. I'm not, believe me, it's not the players. I'm amazed that the national media has not delved deeper into this last eight games and really looked at the offenses and quarterbacks that the Broncos have gone up against. And I don't know if they're fearful or they're in cahoots with the NFL or whatever, but I mean, I went through all these games yesterday and I've seen them all anyway and broke down everything. I'm just not buying into it. And it's not because I think this high and mighty Patriot team, whatever. I just look at the quarterbacks that they have gone up against. I look at how bad Tim has been in so many of these games for a big high percentage of these games. And the banged up secondary that the Broncos may have this week, I don't know. I have a feeling it could come crashing down pretty early on the Broncos this week.
Well, I think the big issue in this game is, and I think the Broncos know it, is what their defense does. You know, if they're in a close game, an awful lot of people have thrown for big yardage against the Patriots, and, you know, I think they feel like, if their defense can hang and keep it within striking distance, then that's what they want, you know, and just take their chances in the fourth quarter, because every team they faced during this win streak has played very conservatively in the fourth quarter against Tebow, and he has made most of them pay for that. So,
well, do you think it's going to be an interesting chess match, as it always is in the NFL, and especially with, you know, two real good coaches? And I think John Fox is a real good coach, and I think Belichick is one of the greats of all time. But I really think they are going to want to force Tebow to throw the ball more. And it's going to be interesting to see if John Fox takes the bait. Of course, against his Patriots secondary, the net yardage they give up, not so much points allowed, but the net yardage they give up is there for the taking. I'm wondering if Tim's going to throw the ball a little bit more than he normally does.
They haven't really let him loose to try that unless they've had to. You know, they've really tried to keep things, you know, tight early in games, especially, you know, they run the ball in a lot of situations. They are the number one run team in the league right now for a reason. I mean, they're handing the ball off an awful lot, and Tim's running an awful lot. So I think if he has his preference, they want to run it, and then when the safeties start coming up to stop that, then they want to take a chance and go down the field.
How's this? I have the injury report in front of me, but sometimes you can't learn a whole lot. I know Dawkins and Goodman didn't practice a couple of days this week. What percentage would you give them? I mean, how healthy are they, those two guys, going into this game? Because I think those two are that's a tremendous key for the Broncos. They have to be close to 100%, or I just think it could get ugly.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure Dawkins usually finds a way to play over the years. And I think Goodman, he did practice some today, and I watched him run some. You know, you don't know with a concussion. You know, you can't really tell watching a guy at practice. You know, he's been cleared medically, so I think a lot of it may be just how he feels as the game gets closer. They do know they need him. You know, they're going to need as many defensive backs as they can put out there Sunday.
Well, and this could end up being, I think, one of the highest-rated regular season games in the history of the NFL. I think if it was on Sunday night, it probably would be. Maybe the week before Christmas, people might be out. Some others that might normally be home watching might be out a little bit shopping or doing whatever. But, I mean, the hype for this game, what if I was a Bronco fan, what I'd be afraid of is this, is that nobody, for the most part, except the weekly praise of Brady, nobody's talking about the Patriots at all. It's been all about Denver and Tim and Denver and a couple of pick sixes and Denver. And I've seen this act before when the Patriots have gone into hostile environments, and they usually come through with flying colors. I just hope most Denver fans, and not what I call the pink hat fans who are going to be watching a game for the first time in their life this week, realize that what they're going to be up against.
Certainly, if you're a football fan, you know, that's for sure. I think, it's a young team overall, and this is really their first dance now with success in a couple years. They were on troubled times here in Josh's tenure. So, I mean, this is the first real sort of coming out, and, you know, you don't know how they're going to respond to it. But, you know, given that, you know, in a pretty big situation in terms of, you know, fervent following. Tim did play in the SEC, and he sort of understands how that looks and everything. But I think, again, the bottom line is I think it's which defense can hold up, you know. And, mm-hmm. and in the end, that after all the talk of the quarterbacks, it's going to be about which defense holds up, I think.
Well, certainly the Denver defense against, some mediocre quarterbacks at best, let's be honest, that they've gone up against and the situations they've been in. But they have, I mean, I think they have been a much bigger part to the reason why Denver has been in position to win, as you know, more so than Tim leading some of these drives down the end of the game. I think without some of these pick sixes and some of the stops that they have made, that the Broncos might have been out of it early. I know some people are praising him a little bit. I know they're down the bottom of the league, bottom third of the league in points allowed, but they have come up with some incredible plays when they have needed to bail the offense out of some very, drastic situations and put them in position to win.
That's what they're – Dennis Allen, the coordinator, that's what he's looking for. You know, he was hired to pump up the sack numbers and get turnovers, and he's done both so far. And I think in a lot of years, a lot of people would be talking about Von Miller right now as one of the real rising star rookies, and he's kind of been hidden from view behind all the hubbub.
Yeah, and that's going to be a great matchup this week because Sebastian Vollmer is like a Sasquatch. He's like 8 feet tall. It's going to be real interesting, that matchup. The Patriots offensive line has done, especially Matt Light on the left side, has really done a great job. A guy some people didn't think might even be on the team this year, but he's come up against some of the better pass rushers in the league this year and done fine. But I am really looking forward to that Von Miller-Nate Solder matchup. That's going to be fantastic.
Jeff Solder,
Vollmer's out. I was talking about Solder because Vollmer's out. Excuse me. Vollmer's not going to play. It's Solder who's taken over, but Solder has been very versatile for the Patriots. He's played on both sides, and now he's found a home at right tackle for the most part. He does very well.
Yeah, Nate's a good. I spent a lot of time with Nate before the draft this past year. He's a good young guy, and I'd expect him to play a long time.
Well, so I mean, as a reporter being out and at this game, I mean, you gotta love it. I mean, I don't care what people feel about Tebow, love him, hate him, or, you know, whatever. I think he's, as much as I think.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give him a Patriot fan on your list.
Sorry about that. You still there, Jeff?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just going to be a tremendous atmosphere. This is a reporter's dream. Forget the fans, and I'm being in the media. I mean, you got to love being in an atmosphere like this on Sunday, what could be one of the highest-rated games of all time in the regular season.
Yeah, we've had a lot of visitors here this week, let's just say that. Been an awful lot of folks in town, and I think, you know, in terms of credentials and all that, I think it's only short of a conference championship game here. Got that kind of interest.
One last thing, Eddie Royal looks like he's going to play this week.
Yeah, he practiced full today, so I think they'd like to use him, you know, some on offense and some in the return game in a perfect world.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much. Enjoy the game. It's going to be memorable. No matter what happens, it's going to get, like you said, it's almost like a Super Bowl or conference championship atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, no matter who you're rooting for. So good luck, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Jeff Legwoop on the Denver Post joining us here on the Pete Shepard Show. And I just, you know, I don't buy into any of it. I just don't. I may be proven dead wrong, wouldn't be the first time, but I'm telling you, I mean, these are the kind of games where I know this team, I know the Patriots, I know the opposition, I know what they're going up against, I know the overhyped crap from the other side, what's happening, and this is even more of a hype than the Jets coming into Foxborough a couple of years ago, last year, before that 45-3 debacle. It's not the same kind of hype as when the Patriots went into the Jets this year, into New Jersey, and whipped them when people thought they weren't going to win. And they beat him pretty soundly. And people will bring up 1-6, and Brady hasn't done this and that in Denver and all that stuff again. And it's a completely different atmosphere, completely different set of circumstances, completely different teams and situations here. And I don't know. I find it almost that it's going to be nearly impossible for Denver to stop Hernandez, Gronkowski, Welker. I just don't see it. I really don't. I really don't. And I'm going to say that. I'm going to do it again, Kevin. This is going to be the week that Chad catches a touchdown. He's going to do it. Chad is going to catch a touchdown pass this week. I got a feeling. Boy, my score is coming up and all that stuff. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Also, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And I'll keep saying it. I just can't believe ESPN and NFL Network just have not gone in depth and breaking down these games. It's just simply one or two drives a show from Tebow, and that's been the season. It's ridiculous. And the voice of reason, believe it or not, Kevin, today, the voice of reason
is Pete Shepard.
No, on ESPN. You know who it was?
Who?
Mel Kiper.
Oh, boy.
He's the only one that gets it. He's like, he was saying the same thing. I think people listen to the show, and they should. I heard some other sports broadcasters today on both stations. It sounded very similar to what I was saying yesterday, by the way. But I don't know. You be the judge of that. I'm just here at Gillette. But Mel Kiper was saying he's like, look at the offense that they face. Look at the quarterbacks they've gone up against. Look at the field goal kicker. I mean, when you read media people nationally and locally this week talk about Tim Tebow, just one example. Tim Tebow drove them to a game-winning drive against the Bears. The hell he did. Prater hit a 59-yard field goal and then hit a 51-yarder in overtime. That's not driving your team down the field to victory. There's just so many other extenuating circumstances. There's so much stupid football from the Broncos opposition that happened. A lot of it. And look, this is not a knock on the players, as I was, you know, saying to Jeff or Tebow, or, you know, any of them, or the coach. It's not their fault. I think they know what they are, and they're not bragging about it. They're happy they're winning. They're playing who's on their schedule. They're going up against the opponents they have to go up against. They got no choice. But as I've said, a winless Miami team spanked in Detroit badly. At Oakland, Palmer, first start, 3 picks. Kansas City, Castle goes down, Tyler Palco comes in, 17-10. Horrible offense again. Jets, Sanchez, giving that game away with that pick six, and Jets just ridiculous coaching in that game. San Diego, North Turner and Phillip Rivers, horrible combination in that game. No back to field goal kicker, missed a couple field goals, horrible. Minnesota, Ponder throws a pick six and then throws an interception in overtime after the Vikings put up 26 points out of the 32, the offense. The Vikings, 2-8, and the Bears last week, the Marion Barber Bowl, who fumbled and couldn't get out of bounds and fumbled. Now, are you kidding me? All these games, all of them, with the exception of the Oakland game, all within, you know, 3 points, 4 points. Just, I'm not buying it. Not buying into it. I think this is a fraud team. And they've been very lucky that they've had the schedule that they've had. And even with some of the worst inept offenses out there, they are barely winning games. Barely winning. So, I'm not buying it. Sorry, not buying it. I'll give my scores in a couple minutes, but I just think they're going to be in serious trouble. Let me take a couple emails. I'll take a break. We'll come back and email me, webradio@patriot.com. Hey, Pete, shout out to Andy Hart. He had it right all along. Tebow reeks of a phony, or reeks of a phony. Case in point, during the Bears game, Tebow threw an interception and went up to the Chiefs Tillman and said, "You're lucky. Wow. Where's the humility he preaches?" Well, I think he said, "Don't worry, you're going to be the hero, catch the next one," something like that. When asked about position specifics, he generalizes by stating, "We do what it takes to win. Duh. What it takes is to master the quarterback position. I have a huge problem with this. What do you think?" Yeah, I mean, I just don't think he's a good quarterback. I just don't. I think he's been very fortunate for the teams he's played. Very fortunate. The teams the one decent team he's played was Detroit. And so somewhat the Jets. And the Jets, again, that was Mark Sanchez giving that game away. And when he went to Detroit, they got killed by 35. When Orton was a quarterback against Green Bay, in Green Bay, they got killed by 26. So 49 points by the Packers, 45 points by the Lions, and that's why I think the Patriots may come close to scoring 40 this week. I'm just not buying into it. When it's all said and done, I'm just not buying into it. Gene says, "Hi, Pete and Kevin." Pete, on the ESPN NFL 32 show the other night, Herm Edwards started with defending the Sue hit on McCoy, and this guy, who I have never seen before, Stephen A. Smith, responded to Herm's comments and just made Herm look like a total fool. Well, I agree. I did see that. And Stephen A. Smith's on a lot. He did more basketball when he first started. Now he's doing everything. You should have seen it. I almost felt bad for Herm after this guy got done tearing up everything Herm said. Susie Colbert went back to Herm for a response, and all Herm did was try to look away.
Hello?
He had enough of that conversation. It was great, and this guy was great. Yeah, I mean, Herm Edwards is a horrible analyst. He's terrible. He's terrible. Like I said, they tried to bail him out last week on that hit, and that was Hannah Storm in the morning. Tried to bail him out. They're slowing it down. He's talking about breastplates, hitting breastplates. It was such a blatant, flagrant violation, you know, and this guy is trying to defend him. Crazy. Hey, Pete, I just want to say I agree with everything you've said about the Patriots versus Broncos game, and I'm so glad I can actually listen to someone who knows something about football, looks at all things from all angles, and doesn't just use their platform for their own biased agenda. Cough. ESPN cough. I'm going to the game this weekend. I can't wait to see in person Tim Tebow. Oh, sorry. The Broncos get their asses handed to them. Keep up the great work, Adriana from Washington State. Love you, Adriana. I would love it. You're so lucky, Cal. I would love to go to this game. I know you're going to do some work, but.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. I'll be bleary-eyed the next day.
That's all right. It'll be well worth it. All right, going to take a quick break. When we come back, any locker room sound or anything from today?
Let's see if we can find something.
There wasn't
that much going on.
No, maybe a short segment just to get you a different perspective. And then
we get the picks naturally, though.
Huh?
We get the picks, of course.
Oh, of course, and then the picks are going
to
come
that's
up.
That's enough to stick around.
That's true. Picks are coming up, and again, my monster miraculous pick is now 8-5. I think I've lost three in a row.
You got to turn this around.
Got to turn it around.
This bus needs to be
turned. And I do have it turned around this week, and I'll guarantee this one. I'll guarantee this one, as I do every week. Anyway, we'll be back on Patriots.com for the final segment of the Pete Shepherd Show right after this.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Hey Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
I think it's going to be interesting. You know, Colt McCoy got sent home again today from practice from suffering a concussion that the Browns didn't think he had after Harrison whacked him helmet to helmet. So Herm Edwards doesn't believe that it was, that he hit him in the helmet. He actually said that. Seriously, he goes, I don't think he hit him in the helmet. I think he hit him in the breastplate. How does the NFL not get involved with the Browns and their training staff, and they allow a guy to go back in because they said he didn't have a concussion, which he clearly did? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Ben Roethlisberger not practicing again today. And, here's a bulletin. Panthers wide receiver Steve Smith said that Cam Newton is better than Tim Tebow. Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. Anyway, it's almost time for my picks, and I got some doozies today. Again, the injury report for the Patriots, in case you want to know. Patrick Chung, Sebastian Vollmer did not participate, and Kyle Arrington, Brady, Branch, Connolly, Edelman, Fletcher, Hideo, McCourty, Slater, Spikes, Vereen, Welker, Wendell, Wilfork, Woodhead, all limited today. Yes, Tom Brady is on that list, limited. Yesterday, they said it was not injury-related. Today, but still says not injury-related, so whatever. Those are your guys, limited. And for the Broncos, David Bruton is out, and Brian Dawkins, Andre Goodman, limited today, but they're banged up, but we'll see how effective they are. Then you had Larson, Miller, and Royal, full participation. So it looks like Eddie Royal will be back and we'll play. Well, it's about that time. Going to redeem myself. Did not have a great week last week, I'll be honest with you. I picked some games. I really went against it, like Buffalo against San Diego. Went against my better judgment. But sometimes I outthink myself with this backdoor cover stuff. But not today. Not today. So here's how it goes. I give you my picks against the number. And then I'll give you my Patriots pick. And then in my miraculous monster pick of the week, which is still a respectable 8-5 on the year, which is where I picked the best line of the week. And like I said, I usually don't do it for the Patriots, just for, jazzing it up a little bit. I did have the Patriots last week for the first time. They didn't cover by a point. So anyway, here are the picks. First one tonight, in case you forgot, tonight the Falcons are at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember what happened Sunday? Jacksonville just absolutely steamrolled Tampa Bay. I think it was 41-14. That was horrible. Atlanta, -13.5 tonight. You know how I feel about big lines, but the Falcons really need to win this one, and I think they do. I think the Falcons come out and they steamroll Jacksonville in Atlanta at the Dome. Love Atlanta big tonight over Jacksonville. Then Saturday night. Yes, I said it's Saturday night. The unpredictable Dallas Cowboys, 6.5-point favorites in Tampa Bay. You gotta love the Cowboys in this one. As I'm watching a locker room skirmish that happened earlier on NFL Network. Not sure who was involved, but there was a fight in the Cowboy locker room right when Ryan was giving his press conference. So you'll see more of that coming up, I'm sure, across all the networks. That just happened a little while ago. But Dallas -6.5 at Tampa Bay. I mean, you got to like the Cowboys after what you saw with Tampa Bay. But this is one of those games, I don't know, I red flag it. I wouldn't touch it if I were putting any shekels on it. But I'll take Dallas -6.5 at Tampa Bay. These are just the kind of games that you think the Cowboys win big and they lose. But I'll take my chances. Go with the Cowboys -6.5. Giants are home. They're a 7-point favorite against Washington. I love the Giants here. I think they're going to run the table the rest of the way, make the playoffs. Giants -7. They get the call. The Packers are at Kansas City. Green Bay, 13.5-point favorite on the road. Kyle Orton coming out again. Hopefully he's good to go. It looks like he's going to be. Not Tyler Palko. It'll be Kyle Orton at quarterback. Doesn't matter. 13.5 points. Doesn't matter. You might see some good fantasy football numbers put up by the Kansas City Chiefs in this one on that very questionable Packers secondary, just like the Patriots. But in the end, it'll be Green Bay covering this line, 13.5. They will absolutely win by at least 17, if not more, unless they really take the foot off the gas. But I don't expect that it will happen. Green Bay -13.5, they get the call here. New Orleans is at Minnesota -6.5. Minnesota stinks, even though Adrian Peterson's going to play. Minnesota in the Dome. They won a game last week. I wasn't sure they'd win, but they did. New Orleans -6.5 at Minnesota. They get the call there. the Bears, they got their own issues. They're high. Well, at least Chicago Bears receiver Sam Hurd was arrested in Chicago on federal drug charges last night. Isn't that nice? Bears are home minus 3.5 against Seattle. No, not with that quarterback. The Seahawks will play much better lately. 3.5. I love the hook there. Seattle plus 3.5. They get the call, as far as I'm concerned. And the Who Cares Bowl of the week, one of them, is Buffalo and a pick against Miami. I'll go with the Bills to redeem themselves here. Miami, I think they're done. They had the little run. Buffalo at home as a pick. Got to take the Bills there. Buffalo comes away with a comfortable win. Houston is at home. They are 6.5-point favorites against Carolina. I don't know. Something about that line. It's still Yates at quarterback. And Carolina, that's too many points for me. I'll take the 6.5 and sink or swim with Cam Newton and company there. I'll take the Panthers plus 6.5. Tennessee is on the road in Indianapolis. Tennessee minus 6.5. Do I even have to make that pick? Of course, it's Tennessee minus 6.5. If we're 16.5, I'd probably still pick Tennessee. Indy's terrible. Cincinnati minus 6.5 at St. Louis. Interesting game, but the Bengals need to win this one. I like them. I like the Bengals. Minus 6.5 in this game. Detroit is at Oakland. The Raiders suddenly really suck again. And Detroit coming around. Good matchup for Detroit. I like the Lions in this one. Minus 1 at Oakland. Detroit minus 1. They get the call. Arizona. Very interesting game. They're suddenly playing good football. They are home, 6.5-point favorite against Cleveland. I love Arizona in this game. I almost made this one my miraculous pick of the week, but I'm not. Arizona minus 6.5 against that horrible Cleveland offense, and Arizona's playing some good defense. And that line is not right, but I'll take Arizona minus 6.5. Sunday night, very interesting game. Baltimore is on the road. Minus 2.5 at San Diego. I am good. Much as I dislike what North Turner has done, the Chargers have played well the last couple of weeks. They are in desperation mode. If they win this, it'll only be a game back for the division. That's if Denver, when they lose, and if the Raiders lose this week, things could get very interesting again. And they will have the results, obviously, of those games before they play. And I think Oakland and Denver are going to lose. So San Diego, I'm picking the Chargers in this one, plus 2.5 at home. Which should be a real interesting game. Coming up Monday night, another interesting game, depending on if Roethlisberger can go or not. And if he can't, expect a low-scoring game in this one. San Francisco is a 3-point favorite at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I am going to take San Fran in this spot, minus 3. I'm just not sure that Roethlisberger is going to be able to go, so I will go in a very low-scoring game. That line is probably going to be right on the number. That should be very similar to Detroit and San Fran we saw on Thanksgiving. I like the very low scoring game in that one, but San Fran comes out on top, maybe by 4 to 6 points. San Fran minus 3 against Pittsburgh, they get the call. All right, two more picks to go. Denver is the site. Sports Authority Field. It'll always be Mile High to me, or the new Mile High, whatever you want to call it. The Patriots throw out all the numbers they've ever had in the past. Throw them all out. I don't care what Brady's numbers are against Denver, as I didn't care what the Patriots' numbers were last week in Washington, a lot of other things. I look at situations. And this is a bad situation for the Denver Broncos and their Yahoo Pink Hat fans in this one. There'll be people all over the world watching this game for whatever reason, because they've never seen a football game before, but because a guy, if his name weren't Tim Tebow, would be laughed out of the league right now, is suddenly gaining divine-type status. Why? I don't know, because the national media is a freaking joke, and they refuse to analyze this little 7-1 streak that the Broncos went on against pathetic quarterbacks and pathetic teams and pathetic offenses. Bottom line is, they can't stop the Patriots, and they won't stop the Patriots. I had somebody predict earlier today that Patriots only scored 20 points. I think that's insane. This team has averaged over 34 points, 34-something, 34.7 points the last 5 weeks. They've averaged more points the last 5 weeks than the video game numbers Brady put up in the first 5 weeks when they went 4-1, and they're 5-0 their last five. So here we go. I'm taking the Patriots in this one. A very comfortable 37-21 win. 37-21, the Patriots win in Denver over the Broncos And yes, for once, Matthew Prater won't have to kick a 59-yard field goal or a 51-yard field goal or a 45-yard field goal or a 35-yard field goal to keep this team in the hunt. This will not be overtime. It'll be the Patriots 37-21. They went comfortably by 16. Mark it down. And then finally, we have my monster pick of the week as I try to redeem myself. My monster pick of the week. I guess we're not doing my special sound effect this week. Always try to find it.
It's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
Well, it's not just because of my hatred of this team, because I've actually used this team before in my Monster Miraculous pick, and it backfired on me. But I got to tell you, and I don't care, this is, has nothing to do with the Jets being 0-8 in Philadelphia. Although I think that's kind of a, and I haven't played in Philadelphia since 2003. So who gives a crap what happened there 8 years ago? I'd be a hypocrite if I said that mattered when I'm telling you the 1-6, the Patriots record that Brady has in Denver matters. So it's not about that. Philadelphia, -3 against the Jets. I'm going with the Eagles in this one. I am going with the Eagles. I get the feeling this could be a very entertaining game or it could be a very ugly game. I'm not sure what's going to happen, because I'm not sure which Eagles team is going to show up. But I will take my chances and pick the Eagles -3 over the Jets. And Rex Ryan, and kiss your ass and kiss your season goodbye. Because that'll be it, in my opinion. Eagles win. Jets are out. And they won't even make the playoffs. They won't make the playoffs, I don't believe, if the Eagles win this game. Unless something disastrous happens with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Houston, or something. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens. I think the Jets could be in some trouble here. And it would be great to see them get knocked out of the playoffs. It'll still be difficult. They could still probably get in at 10-6, but you never know. They still have to play. Do they still have to play Green Bay? No, they don't have to play Green Bay. They have to play, but they have a,
I think they play, I want to say they play, no, they've already played.
I forget who they have left, but this is going to be a tough game for them this week. The Eagles -3 over the Jets. And the Patriots, 37-21, comfortable win in Denver, shutting everybody up and bringing Tebow crashing back down to reality, because he's finally going to play a real team with a real offense and a real coach and a real quarterback. Good luck, my friend, because you are going to need it. And all the gods in the world, I'm going to be able to stop Tom Brady, shred that Denver defense. Mark it down. Mark it down. All right, that's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show for this week. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday starting at 4 p.m. Christmas week. As we look ahead to the Miami game, we'll recap the Denver game. Obviously, look ahead to the Miami on Christmas Eve. Thanks to Kevin Collins. Thanks to all my guests this week. Thanks especially to you, the listeners and the callers and people who Facebooked and all that stuff. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Play it hard, kicked around, cause Stitch Dan Scott.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.